And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to The Awakening on American Family Radio, the podcast. And this is your host, of course, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. Now, look, we've just gone through Thanksgiving. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. But there's some things I really want to discuss that are very important and that I don't want to be misunderstood on these. So before I get into it, let me just say that I will be at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers Conference on December the 13th and 14th out in Arizona. If you're not aware of that, check it out. That's the National Association of Christian Lawmakers that is headed up by my good friend Jason Rapert. That's going to happen. It's the annual meeting and awards gala. That's going to happen at the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess Hotel at 7575 East Princess Drive in Scottsdale, Arizona. Again, it begins on Friday, December the 13th through Saturday, December the 14th. I will be there. Hope you'll join us because it's going to be a very, very important. You don't have to be a legislator to attend, by the way. Just go to the website, NACL or National Association of Christian Lawmakers. Okay. I want to say right out of the box, I have supported President Donald Trump. I am continuing to support President Donald Trump. And nothing I'm about to say in any way diminishes my support for President Donald Trump. I really believe that he is the man of the hour. As I've said before, I really believe that God's hand is on President Trump. And God is using President Trump to really help save this nation from some of the wicked forces that would lead us right off the proverbial cliff. And so thank God for him. However, as I've said many times before, we are Christians. Our prime leader, our supreme leader is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Not Donald Trump, not E.W. Jackson, but Jesus Christ, the Lord. And therefore, all human beings are subject to critique and evaluation by the standards that God sets, not the standards that they set, okay? I know the left likes to think that we're all a bunch of sycophants and we don't have our own minds and whatever Donald Trump says, we just kind of go along with it. And that's because we know from the names they've called us, deplorables and garbage and the people who cling, it's irrationally cling to their guns and their Bibles and all these, you know, we're racist and we're white supremacists and all of this nonsense. But they do that because, number one, they have to destroy our credibility and destroy our effectiveness to the fullest extent they can. And number two, they are just deceived by the devil. I mean, just thoroughly deceived. God has given these people up to great delusion to believe the lie, and they believe it with all their hearts. And so, of course, they're going to say terrible things about us and dismiss our ability to think and reason and come to conclusions for ourselves. I know you all have heard me say this before, but I will say it again happily. We didn't love Rush Limbaugh and follow and support Rush Limbaugh because Rush Limbaugh spoke and suddenly we were mesmerized and hypnotized and we thought, I had no thoughts. But now that Rush Limbaugh speaks, I agree with everything that Rush Limbaugh says. No, we loved and supported Rush Limbaugh because what was in our hearts, what was in our minds, he began to articulate and we just said, amen, you know. That is great. Finally, somebody is expressing what I believe in my heart. And the same is true for President Trump. President Trump with all of his flaws and, you know, speaking off the cuff that he does, President Trump's general policies and his general, I think his gut, his visceral inclination is exactly what we, what most Americans believe the country needs. And so that's the basis for our supporting him. It is not a blind, mesmerized devotion as if he were Jesus or as if he were God incarnate. We all know better than that. But it is a very practical commitment to a man who has demonstrated his willingness to sacrifice for his love of country, his caring about the American people, and his desire to lead the country in the right direction. Okay, just wanted to get that out there so that there's no mistaking where I'm coming from and no sense that somehow I am backing off of my support for him. However, doesn't mean I agree with him on everything. And that's why it is my prayer that the Christians that know him will get around him and will say to him not what he wants to hear, but what he needs to hear. And not just kind of go along and whatever he says because he's president, or go along with whatever he says because they're afraid they might lose favor with him or that kind of thing. Because remember something, folks, we represent God first. We represent God first. And I'll tell you something, and please don't take this the wrong way or take it as bragging, because it's not. It's just a statement of fact. I am not afraid of anybody. Not Joe Biden, not Barack Obama, not Hillary Clinton, not George Bush, one or two, and not Donald Trump. I fear the Lord. He's the one I fear, because the day is coming when I'm going to stand before him and give an account. And, you know, Jesus said that, he said, do not fear men who can destroy the body. Not that anybody is threatening, but certainly not President Trump or any president at all has ever threatened me. They don't even know who I am. But Jesus made this clear as a general proposition. Do not fear men who can destroy the body, but fear God, who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. You know, I was talking to my dear friend, Congressman, he's still Congressman Bob Good. As you all know, he lost his election because Kevin McCarthy and others and his ilk, because of Bob Good's bold and courageous stand against Kevin McCarthy. They spent literally millions of dollars trying to get rid of him. He only lost by 340 some votes, something like that, 370. But some minuscule number of votes he lost by, after spending millions of dollars to try to get him out of office, because Bob Good is a man of God who really believes that he should stand where the Lord wants him to stand, regardless of the consequences. And he and I were talking the other day about why Christians in politics so often act more like hack politicians than like Christians ought to act. And this was his answer, and I think he's right. He said, because they don't fear God. They really don't fear God. You know, we've gotten so much into, you know, God is love, and he is. There's no question about that. And the grace of God, and that's real. There's no question about that. But I think it has convinced some people, or it caused some people to forget, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Some people forget that our God is a consuming fire. And they forget that God is a God of love and grace, but God is also a God of judgment and justice. So I said all that as a preface to say this. I'm concerned about two appointments. I was a little bit concerned about Matt Gaetz, not because I was against the appointment, but simply because the stuff that was swirling around him. And I said, I didn't know the facts, and I was not going to make a judgment against Matt Gaetz when I knew he was accused of certain things, but nothing was ever adjudicated. They never brought any charges. And he's innocent until proven guilty. And in my view, accusations should not be disqualifying if those accusations are not proved. Although that's easy. I mean, it's easy to say that. But when accusations are swirling around you, we know that it affects the atmosphere and affects what people think and all that. So in that sense, I raised questions about that appointment. My preference would have been somebody like Matt Staver, who is strong on every aspect of the liberty of the American people, or strong on the First Amendment, strong on the Second Amendment, or somebody like Kelly Shackelford, or like Mike Ferris. I'm sure you recognize these names. I mean, Mike Ferris headed up ADF for a while. Matt Staver heads up Liberty Council. Matt Staver represented Jack Phillips, the Colorado baker who got sued because he wouldn't bake a so-called gay wedding cake. In other words, he wouldn't bake a cake that celebrated homosexuality or the so-called thing of same-sex marriage, which there is no such thing. It doesn't exist. Okay? It doesn't exist. It's a fiction in the twisted hearts and minds of perverse human beings. That's all it is. And those perverse human beings, I don't care whether they're on the Supreme Court or they're in the state legislature or they work in some small business, people who believe that are believing a perversion. Well, Jack Phillips didn't believe it, and Matt Staver was the guy who stepped up and represented him. He's being sued again, and Matt Staver is still representing him. So I thought, boy, that's the kind of attorney general we need. Mike Ferris, same thing. Kelly Shackelford, same thing. People who are going to defend the First Amendment, Second Amendment liberties, and due process rights of the American people. Well, Pam Bondi, who is now Donald Trump's nominee for attorney general, has some very serious questions surrounding her nomination on the Second Amendment. For one, she not only supported a bill that restricted the ownership of firearms by American citizens 18 to 20. Let's see, because my view is if you can be sent off to war and handed a gun to go kill your enemy, I cannot understand why you shouldn't be allowed as a law-abiding citizen to own a firearm in the United States of America. But Pam Bondi not only supported restricting ownership of firearms for American citizens 18 to 20, but she apparently fought for it vigorously. She sued to make sure that law was implemented. So she took a very aggressive stand in favor of restricting the rights of 18 to 20 year olds to buy rifles and I guess certain other firearms as well. That raises a very serious question about her view of the Second Amendment. Because while I don't believe that the Second Amendment is absolute any more than free speech is absolute, right? I can't say anything. I mean, I have freedom to say pretty much anything, any opinion I have about any political or social matter, but I can't say anything. I can't threaten to kill somebody. That's not protected by the Second Amendment. Right? You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's not protected by the Second Amendment. Even libel and slander, if I knowingly tell a lie on someone to damage their reputation, to damage their livelihood, I know it's a lie. First Amendment doesn't protect that. I'm subject to libel and slander laws and subject to be sued. Of course, people like me who are reputed to be public figures because we speak to the public, have less protection than the private citizen does, than the citizen who is not doing something like this does. Seems like there are fewer and fewer of us these days with media, because everybody now wants to live stream and everybody wants to broadcast. But nevertheless, freedom of speech is not absolute, right? Now, these left-wing efforts to curtail free speech are saying, well, it's misinformation. Well, what does that mean? What it means is it's something they don't want you to say. It's misinformation or it's disinformation. Or, well, it's hate speech. What does that mean? Oh, that means we find it hateful. But as I've said before, folks, when I say homosexuality is an abominable sin in the sight of God, there are people who say, that's hate speech. You can't say that. But that is what the Bible says. So is the Bible a book of hate speech? And should a Christian be fired from their job because they quote the scripture? And I want an attorney general who says that Christian has a First Amendment right to exercise their freedom of speech in the same way you can't discriminate against them because they have a biblical worldview or because they have a Judeo-Christian worldview, in the same way you can't discriminate against a black person because of the color of their skin, or a woman because of her gender, or a man for that matter, because of their gender, or somebody because of their national or ancestral origin. You can't discriminate against an American citizen because they hold sincerely religious points of view about things. You shouldn't be in danger of being fired from your job because you hold to a biblical view on homosexuality or the killing of unborn babies or gender. You shouldn't have your business boycotted or have the city come and try to shut your business down because you refuse to do things that are against your religious beliefs. And you should not be told, either based upon some stupid state law or upon these red flag laws. And this is the other thing. Pam Bondi supported red flag laws and basically allowed, apparently, and I saw the interview where she said this to then president. I don't know whether he was president at the time that they were having this discussion, but she said to him, if a person is civilly committed, that means they've committed no crime. That means they haven't hurt anyone, but they're civilly committed because somebody believes that they're a danger to themselves or others, that the police can come in immediately and confiscate their weapons. And then that person has to fight to get their weapons back. That's a violation of our due process rights. You know, you cannot take my liberty or my property without due process of law. Due process is first before you can take my liberty. They say, well, what about criminals? They get arrested before they have due process. Oh, no, they don't. No, they don't. You can't arrest somebody without probable cause. That's part of the due process. You got to demonstrate that you have evidence sufficient to make it likely that they will be convicted of the crime you are accusing them of, A. B, you can't hold them until there's a ruling by a judge as to whether this person deserves bail based upon the potential danger they might pose to the community or they're likely being a flight risk. That's all due process. All of that has to be gone through in order to arrest you and then hold you in prison if you are or in jail until the time of your trial. It's all due process. The cops don't just get to pick you up and say, well, you know what, we don't have any evidence yet, but we're pretty sure you did it, so we're going to lock you up and hold you till we can figure it all out. You can't do that. And you can't based on someone's accusation. Oh, you can't do that based on an accusation. Hey, I believe Bishop E.W. Jackson robbed the gas station down the street. They can't come and arrest me. They've got to have a videotape of me going into the gas station robbing. They've got to have my fingerprints on the cash register. They've got to have my DNA in the cash register. You can't just, somebody said, hey, I don't like E.W. Jackson. You know what he did? He robbed the liquor store. You don't. That's a violation of my due process rights. So you can't. Somebody says, I don't believe this person's right and they need to be put away. Okay, that's a very, very, very low threshold, right? Somebody who doesn't like you, maybe a member of your family who's just misunderstanding you, decides that they think you're having mental problems and they get you committed. Now the police can come in and confiscate your guns. Now you got to go through a whole lot of rigmarole and hire lawyers and all that in order to get your weapons back. But Pam Bondi apparently supported that. So that's a problem, folks. That's a problem. And if I were you, I would certainly contact my U.S. senator, particularly if you are a U.S. senator as a Republican, and say, I've got some profound concerns about that nomination on that basis, okay? And look, let's face it. I just gave you three names. There are a lot of good potential candidates out there. Now, Pam Bondi is likely to be nominated, likely to be confirmed, okay? She's likely to be confirmed because I don't think they want another controversy. If she is, which I expect to happen, then I think we've got to be very, very vigilant about watching what, if anything, she does with the Second Amendment. The other problem that I have with her nomination, and again, this is not a big problem because I don't have a whole lot of evidence about this, but I was a little bit concerned that I heard her talking primarily about the enforcement of criminal law, which we certainly need to do. I mean, the Justice Department should not be for the purpose of punishing your enemies, right? Justice Department should be about enforcement of law. I have no problem with that. But there is a broader role of the Justice Department. I mean, the Justice Department really is the enforcer of our civil rights. I mean, that's why the Justice Department has been known to go into police departments and slap an order on them, requiring them to do certain things because they think that the police department is violating the civil rights of the community, what have you. I mean, and a lot of these times, much of the time, this stuff is not meritorious at all. But they're doing it, and they're doing it on the basis that they are protecting the civil rights of the community being served by that police department. Well, my goodness gracious, we've endured 4 years of our civil rights, our constitutional rights, being trampled by the Biden administration. So I hope, assuming that Pam Bondi is confirmed, that she will realize that's part of the role of the Justice Department too. That when a Jack Phillips is persecuted by the city he lives in for standing up for his biblical worldview, that the Attorney General's office ought to be saying to that city, to those governmental entities, you are violating an American citizen's First Amendment liberties, and you cannot do that. And if you do, the Attorney General will step in, and we will represent that person, and we will defend that person's civil rights, and we will hold you accountable. I think that is an extremely important role. I mean, if you can do it for a police department and for other entities that are in some way either governmental or governmentally related or influenced, or as the law puts it, operating under color of law. I mean, these big tech firms that have this law protecting them from liability, these are all operating, in other words, they're operating under the protection of the government. Even though they're not government entities, they are operating under the protection of the government. And therefore, the same responsibility that the government has to protect and defend our civil rights at that point extend to private companies that have a nexus with the government without which they could not do business. Are you all with me on this? You see what I'm getting at? So I hope the Attorney General, if it's Pam Bondi or someone else, will recognize the importance of that role. Because look at what's happened. The Attorney General's office and the Justice Department have been used for everything but that. They've been defending illegal immigrants. They've been attacking Donald Trump. Everything but the right thing. So that was one thing I just wanted to share with you all. And again, you can do with that what you will. Some of you may conclude, you know what, she's probably going to be confirmed. I won't bother to object, but I will watch very closely to see what she does on Second Amendment issues. I mean, that's a fair approach because, frankly, I doubt very seriously that her nomination could be derailed. I doubt that very seriously, that her confirmation, I should say, would be derailed. Here's another one that, frankly, I'm even more troubled by in one sense. Let me just get to it. Sure, you all know that President Trump has nominated Scott Bessent. Is it Bessent or Bessent? Former hedge fund manager, billionaire, to be the Treasury Secretary. Now, the Treasury Secretary is a very, very important role in the financial well-being of our country. They're touting him as, well, who, the person who will become the highest ranking, their words, not mine, LGBT person ever to serve or to be appointed and confirmed by the United States Senate. Now, I don't know whether being a hedge fund manager, you're handling lots of money, obviously, but I don't know whether that qualifies you to be a treasurer. I mean, I can't see that it would be disqualifying, particularly. You know, you're dealing with lots and lots of money, but I also don't see that it sort of is the sine qua non of qualifications. You know, that's the one, oh yes, that's the one thing you want to look for. I don't know that that's true either. I do know this, and this is what concerns me, folks. This is why I say, see, politics can't solve our problem. Politics can help, but politics can't solve our problem. The reason is, our problem is spiritual and cultural, not just political and legal. And as I said, Breitbart said, politics is downstream from culture. And Bishop E.W. Jackson says, culture is downstream from spirituality. As the spirituality of a nation goes, so goes its culture. As its culture goes, so goes its politics. As its politics, so goes its law. And I think one of the worst things that ever happened to this country is the normalization of homosexuality. Crossing the Rubicon of saying, well, while we once considered homosexuality to be sin, and Christians knew it to be an abominable sin in the sight of God, which means it is a particularly detestable sin in God's sight. And, you know, I hear people say all the time, well, no sins worse than any other. That's not true. And the Bible teaches that that's not true. Now, all sin is worthy of death and damnation. That's true. That is true. But God does make distinctions between some sins that are worse than others. And so, for example, I use this example all the time. When Jesus confronted Pilate, was confronted by Pilate, and Pilate told him, I have the power of life and death over you. Jesus said, you have no power over me, except what's been given from above. He said, therefore, the one who betrayed me has the greater sin. He was saying, the sin of Judas is worse than your sin, Pilate, because you've been put in this position really by the sovereign hand of God to do what needs to be done, because Jesus had to go to the cross. And he said, therefore, the one who betrayed me, the one who pretended he was with me, the one who pretended to be my friend, pretended to be my disciple, who then betrayed me into the hands of my enemies, he said, he has the greater sin. Jesus distinguished between those two sins. He didn't say Pilate wasn't sinning, but he said Judas' sin was worse. And the Bible makes clear that homosexuality is an abominable sin. It doesn't call all sins an abomination. And by the way, some of the sins it calls an abomination are not sexual sins. But it does call the sin of homosexuality an abomination. And I say, and there's a reason for that. And here's the reason. It is a double sin. It is a sin against the moral order of God. It is also a sin against the natural order of God. People say, well, you know, I mean, it's no different than adultery. No, it is. Or fornication. No, it is. Because look, here's the thing. And I'm not, by the way, in any way justifying the sin of adultery or fornication. That is wrong, wrong, wrong. But when a man engages in intimacy with a woman, that may be immoral because she's not his wife, and immoral for her because that's not her husband. But it is not unnatural, because God designed men and women for each other. So it's immoral, no less immoral, but it's not unnatural. But when a man enters into intimate relations with another man, or a woman enters into intimate relations with another woman, that is not only immoral, just like fornication and adultery, but it is also unnatural. Because God didn't make men for men and women for women. And that's what Romans 1 basically tells us, that when men and women are attracted to the same gender, God says they are doing that which is unseemly or unnatural. Here we go. It says in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 24, it says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. That's what the Word of God says about it. And I could go on with scriptures, Old Covenant, New Covenant, all of which condemn homosexuality. When the President of the United States elevates a homosexual who says, I talked to my husband, like Pete Buttigieg, all this stuff about, you know, he needs paternity leave so that he and his husband, I mean, every time you say a man and his husband, it is so disgusting. It really is just disgusting. A woman and her wife. I mean, you can't, a woman can't have a wife and a man can't have a husband. So that's what I mean. This is just twisting and contorting the language and the moral and natural order of Almighty God. So when the president appoints someone who is living that kind of lifestyle, it's contributing to the normalization of something that is not normal. I know this is not popular to say, and I know there are people who hate me for it, but again, it's not me, but the Word of God. I'm not giving you my opinion about homosexuality. I'm giving you the Word of God about homosexuality. And again, some of these godly people around the president need to tell him, Mr. President, stop it. Surely there's someone from the Christian community. Surely there's someone who holds a Judeo-Christian worldview. See, because here's the other thing, folks, that I need to say. I do not trust conservatives whose conservative view is informed by their own reason and opinion alone. Nothing wrong with reasoning, nothing wrong with analysis, but I really believe that if the foundation for one's conservatism is not the Word of God, it is unreliable. Case in point. Dick and Liz Cheney. I mean, you go back, what, 8 years, 10 years? Conservative, rock solid conservatives. No, they weren't. They never were. Because if you can support Kamala Harris with her abominable views on life and on America, on everything from the killing of unborn babies to race, to gender, to crime and law and order. If you can support her, you weren't conservative. That's a joke. You were a hack politician and you were taking the viewpoint that you thought was the easiest path to power for you. And the moment that path in some way became obscured, like you don't like Donald Trump, all of a sudden you're supporting people who are the antithesis of everything you said you believed. But you know, when your conservatism is rooted and grounded in God's word, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. I love this country because this country's foundational principles are based upon God's word. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Well, who created us? Almighty God. And endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Who gave us these inalienable rights? Almighty God. Not the government. And governments are instituted among men to secure these rights, which means with the consent of the governed, which means the power of government is limited because human beings who populate the government are inherently sinful and they must be restrained. That's a biblical worldview. Lord Acton said it this way: power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. See, my conservatism, and I know yours as a Christian as well, is based on my understanding of God's word and what it says about human beings and human institutions. And when you got a conservatism that's based on something else, look out. Look out. So this guy, Scott Bessent, I don't know what his conservatism is based on, if he calls himself or considers himself to be a conservative. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but I do know this: I don't trust it. I don't trust it. Because it's just like Guy Benson, who appears on Fox a lot. Has a video on Prager University in which he says, "I am," and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. I don't remember the exact quote, but I know he does say this. You know, "I'm conservative, I'm Christian, and I'm gay." Well, you're not a Christian. You can't be. Now, you could have been homosexual and gotten delivered from it. You could say, "I used to be that, but God saved me from that. I still struggle with those inclinations, but I'm trusting God for my complete deliverance." You could say that. But you can't say, "This is what I am, and I'm a Christian." No, you can't be both. That's like somebody proudly proclaiming, "I'm a thief and I'm a Christian." Well, no, you're not. You might be a thief, but you're not a Christian. You know, "I'm a liar and I'm a Christian." No, you're not. You might be a liar, but you're not a Christian. Because the truth of the matter is, you can say, "I used to be." I used to be, but no more. Remember that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And then here's the key phrase, here's the key word, the key sentence: "And such were some of you." we understand. All of us were something. Might not have been what in that list, but all of us were something, or at the very least, all of us were estranged from God. We were aliens of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. All of us were that. Then it says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So I really prefer, without any equivocation whatsoever, conservatives whose conservatism is rooted and grounded in God's word. And that can't possibly be when you say, oh yeah, I'm a man and I'll, you know, my husband is at home. Lord have mercy. I mean, again, it almost pains me to even makes to speak those sentences mockingly. You're a man with a husband. You're a woman with a wife. I mean, again, these folks have just so twisted the language, but I guess that's what liars have to do, right? They have to twist the language. They have to make it say something different than what it really is saying, because that's the only way to get people to buy into it. You basically twist and turn and change the definitions of words, and you say the lie over and 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 over again until finally people just get used to it and just give into it. Say, oh, yeah, me too. Not here. So I'm just going on the record as being against this nomination, particularly with Pam Bondi. I've got reservations with this one. I just think it just sends a bad signal. And by the way, you know, this is the other thing. The homosexuals, I'm talking about these activists, crazies that are out there, you know, kind of pushing this stuff on every level toward everybody, toward our kids and our schools, everywhere. They hate Donald Trump, and this doesn't change that. In fact, an MSNBC anchor, this guy Jonathan Capehart, said, he was conflicted over this nomination. He says, because Scott Bessent is gay and is married and has children. Oh, well, you know, he's a wonderful guy. And if he's confirmed, he would be the highest ranking out LGBT person ever to serve, to be appointed and confirmed by the United States Senate. He said, but I'm kind of conflicted about it because Trump did it. Look, as always, even in their own cause, they don't care, if because ultimately power is what they want, the power to affect their own agenda, which is why, again, which is why they claim, you know, we're so concerned about the black people and the African Americans, and we want, yeah, well, I tell you what, they've been concerned enough about me to try to threaten to kill me and to smear me and to slander me and say all kinds of things. And I happen to be an American of African ancestry. I happen to be black. You think they care? They hate my guts. Because I'm not a pawn in their power game. They can't use me. I'm opposed to them. So therefore, I'm the enemy. They're not interested in helping anybody, including the people, the victim classes they can't claim to be so much concerned about. They're not interested in helping them unless they are pawns in their power game. If you are willing to be used by them, if you are willing to play along and say whatever they want you to say, well, then you become one of the good ones. You know, I say these people are modern day slave masters in their mentality, because they only like the ones who don't run off the plantation. But if you want freedom, if you want freedom of thought, if you want freedom of speech, if you want freedom of action, oh, no, 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 no. You're one of the bad ones. We've got to do something about you. You are a problem. Next thing you know, you'll infect all the other slaves and get them thinking for themselves, too. And we can't have that. Stay in your place, boys and girls, and you will get along just fine. If you dare to begin to think for yourselves, we will show you just what taskmasters we can be. We will try to take your job. We will try to take your business. We will try to destroy your reputation. We will smear you. We will slander you. We will lie on you. We will marginalize you. We will do anything we can to make it almost impossible, if we can, for you to even survive. We'll destroy your opportunity for a livelihood if we can do it. And push come to shove, we'll kill you. And folks, I don't say that lightly. I say that as someone who came under a death threat. So I don't say that lightly. And by the way, just not to put too fine a point on it, but just to be clear, when the investigation was all said and done, it was a homosexual activist that had called me and threatened to kill me, threatened to shoot me. I've never called anybody and threatened to hurt them at all, because I don't have that in my heart toward anybody. So I just have a problem with legitimizing the lifestyle at all, because to me, even though I love Donald Trump and love his policies overall, this to me only further contributes to marching us towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And we don't need to legitimize it. We need to come back to the notion that people are certainly free to live homosexual lifestyles, but nobody in society is expected to, or has it demanded of them, that they call this normal and good and right and acceptable, and are threatened with punishment if they do not. I guarantee you, most corporate offices in this country, if you stand up and say, when some homosexual so-called celebration, we're going to have coming out day, we're going to have pride in our sin day. And you say, well, I can't participate in that. I'm a born-again believer. I believe what the Word of God says about homosexuality. I can't get involved. In most corporate offices in this country, and I think this is beginning to change, some of them are moving away from this, you would be subject to discipline, probably to some kind of indoctrination class, and maybe to firing for discriminating or engaging in hate speech. Now, my brothers and sisters, these things should not be. And I think every time we contribute to the normalization of it, we're only giving them more ammunition and more strength to persecute us as Christians for standing against it. And by the way, having said that, let me end with this. We love them. We pray for them. We don't hate them. We're not interested in harming them. But we also do not want our society to be marked and scarred by rampant homosexuality, normalized, accepted, and celebrated, because that is the way to become Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know how that ended. So look, I started out saying I am a Trump supporter. I've been a Trump supporter. I'm going to remain a Trump supporter, at least unless something were to happen that would completely revolutionize and change my thinking on it. I think he has far more to contribute and will contribute in the next 4 years of this administration for the betterment of the American people. But it doesn't mean I'm going to agree with everything he does. And when I don't agree, I'm going to let you know it. And I hope that others around him, people who have his ear, I hope they will let him know it too, so that he realizes Trump could not have won without the Christian vote. And he needs to be constantly asking the question, what would Jesus do? And what do Christians think? As opposed to asking the question, what does the SPCG movement think? The sexual perversion child grooming movement, because that's what it should be called, not LGBT, but SPCG. Look, God bless you. I've got to go. As always, it's an honor to be with you all. Thank you for supporting American Family Association, American Family Radio, and all of the ministries associated. God bless each and every one of you. We're never going to stop fighting until this nation is fully and thoroughly and fulfilled as a nation whose God is the Lord. And we're going to work with Donald Trump to get that done. And when we think he's off the mark, we're going to point that out. But in the meantime, we're going to keep marching towards God's vision for America. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that means that you and I are going to have to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, knowing that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.